Okay, good morning. We're going to get started, I guess. Clerk, would you call roll, please?
Mayor Prus is absent. Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell is not here yet. Mr. Barney? Not present. Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
All right. First item up is ordinance number 6309, amending the 2025 operating capital and Fairbanks Transportation Center budgets for the first time. We've already seen this once. Margarita?
Good morning, council members. This ordinance 6309 was presented to you for first reading. There have been no changes to this ordinance since you reviewed it at that meeting.
Sue?
I've forgotten what we're doing. We're doing operating or repair costs. And was it for the gates or the... Can someone tell me what we were doing there?
For the parking garage?
Correct.
For the transportation center, there were three projects that were being proposed. The first one was to install a turnstile exit door.
Sure.
On the southeast stairwell. And that's to prevent people from coming in and out. And it's on page 909.
Okay.
And it was to upgrade the heating panels
and
ceiling fans.
Okay.
And improve parking signs.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And this is just to okay the transportation center. Nothing else is that we're here to talk about, right?
No, that is correct. That is to approve the projects that have been presented for that location.
Well, I hope we're not voting for that, right? We're just voting for the turnstile in this case.
Your approval of this ordinance will incorporate the changes that you see on page, if you come with me to page. If you will turn to me with page 6 of 9. These are the changes that are being proposed. The first set of changes on page 6 are for the general fund, and it is to transfer the first item under revenues to transfer 1.51 to the capital fund, and this is based on our new policy for investment income and sale of assets, to transfer 2.49 to the capital fund, and these are from surplus funds. To transfer to the capital fund for a fire apparatus, $500,000. And then you see the $270,000 transfer to the transportation center fund. And then there is an adjustment for the permanent fund, which is a decrease in transfer from the permanent fund. And the permanent fund budget is based on the market value as of September. And as of December, there was a change, a decrease in the market value of the portfolio value overall.
You said an increase?
A decrease.
Decrease.
Oh. Mm-hmm. In September, it was at $159 million. And then at the end of the year, it was at $150 million. But then in January, it went back up to $159 million, the permanent fund. As far as expenditures... we're asking for an increase to salary and benefits for one full-time laborer and one full-time operator, with a decrease in salaries and benefits for temporary wages and benefits. And you'll see on the top of 7, we're bringing in encumbrance carry for purchase orders. These are purchase order, outstanding purchase order at the end of December 31 for expenditures that are we have contracted for or have obligated the city. And the first one is in a city clerk for $1,752. Under information technology, it was $37,042. Under the general account is $51,881. Under the police department is $19,661. Under communication center, it was $6,790. Under the fire department, it was $69,839. Under public works, is $71,846. And under engineering department, it was $15,851.
that you're bringing in an encumbrances from the prior year, a total of $274,662. And under the capital fund, which is under the bottom of page 7, you'll see the 1.51 from the general fund coming in for investment income and sale of assets per our new policy. You'll see the 2.49 coming in from the general fund, the transfer, and you'll also see the $500,000 transferred from the general fund for the fire department. And you'll see a decrease in transfer from the permanent fund. And that's mainly due to the change in the valuation of the portfolio as of December 31. On the top of page 8, under expenditures, these are new projects or increases in existing projects that you approved. And the first is an increase for the Golden Heart Plaza improvement. This is a $25,000 increase. We're asking for a new project, which is $150,000 for City Hall restrooms upgrade. And we're asking for an increase in an existing approval for the fire chief vehicle. We have encumbrance carry forward totaling $3.787 million. And in the capital fund, you'll see these listed for property repairs, public works, garbage equipment, IT, police department, and fire department. And most of these are vehicles that have been purchased or major equipment that has been purchased, and we're waiting for those equipments to come in or vehicles to come in. We're asking for a reappropriation on the bottom of page 8 for several projects totaling where this would total $1.319, and these are for projects that are in progress. We haven't encumbered the funds through a purchase order, but we would like to retain the balance of what you have allocated for these projects. And you have the child care project at $121,000, increase for City Hall system, $55,400. And I provided you with the original budget amount. These are the balances, $375,000, almost $376,000 for the fire training center, and $47,000 increase for Fire Station 3 upgrades, $20,000 increase for the City Hall battery backup system, and $30,000 for grant match, and then $669,487 for Mini Street construction. And then we discussed on the bottom of page 9 of 9 the amount for the transportation center.
I think everybody's going to have some. Okay, Valerie?
Marguerite, on the 2.490 transfer from the general fund, is that the total amount that was left over at the end of last year's budget, the surplus?
It is a part of the surplus. Okay. We are anticipating a $5 million surplus, but of that $5 million, $1.51 per policy is due to capital fund investment income and sale of assets.
Okay.
So that 1.5.
And so the 2.490, is that by code that we have to put that?
No, that is not by code.
And so at the end of last year, when we do these transfers, there's no surplus left?
No, there is. If you turn with me to page 2 of 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you look at the very bottom section where it says mm-hmm. 2024 unassigned fund balance, and mm-hmm. then it shows your prior year encumbrances,
yep.
your transfers, and then other changes to the budget, okay. you'll see that the 2025 estimated unassigned fund balance with all of these adjustments to the budget would be 15.6, almost 15.7 if we rounded it. And okay. you're required to have a minimum of $10 million or 20%, but 10 million is higher. Your 20% is 9.3.
So if I remember, we don't necessarily have money in the budget for the firefighters arbitration. So by transferring this 2.490, does that hurt our ability to pay off that arbitration award?
It depends on the amount of the award. If we were, the council at this stage can go over the budget. Mm-hmm. If under, where you see other changes to the budget, this shows you the balance of your budget outside of your encumbrances and transfers from surplus fund was 1.635.
Uh-huh.
You do have an ordinance that you'll be reviewing and later to in this meeting that is 1.231, so that would bring you to 404,201 left. But you can go, at this stage, you can go over that budgeted amount. And still be within your and still be within your guidelines of 10 million. You cannot, you have 15.6 million mm-hmm. and unassigned, and you're required to at least maintain that number mm-hmm. above 10 million or above.
And do we have an estimate of how much more that arbitration might cost us?
Not at this stage.
And do we have any money in the budget for a proposed amount or not?
We do not, not at this stage. So but you do have a 404,000 or you still have a difference of 5.6 million and you're unassigned. You cannot go below 10 million on that line. Where you see 15.6 million,
mm-hmm.
you cannot go below 10 million of that line.
So we do have
yes.
about 5 million. There.
Yes.
And that would really cut us very short.
Yeah. Now this is outside. You've already taken into consideration those transfers.
Right, I understand.
Uh-huh. So that leaves you with 15 million with the transfers, the 4.77 transfer. And so that leaves you with 15 million and you cannot go below the 10 million.
Okay.
For that 15. So yes.
All right. Sue.
I guess what I'm confused by is the fact that we're calling this ordinance
an ordinance amending the 2025 operating capital Fairbanks Transportation Center budgets for the first time, yet it's attached to all of this. So why are we doing it that way?
It's your first budget amendment.
So why call it for why label it for the transportation center?
It says and.
And.
Yeah, okay. I'm just confused by why we're doing it that way. That just seems to emphasize the transportation center versus the whole budget.
It is. Operating means general fund.
Yes.
Capital fund.
Yes.
And transportation center fund.
Because we're calling that a separate fund.
Yeah, that's a separate
fund. And
this fund.
Is new, that's new to us.
And that's new to you.
Okay, very
yes.
good. Thank you.
At your request.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, John, go ahead.
Section 2, the 250,000 emergency funds, we put that in the budget now. I'm assuming this appropriation authorizes expenditure of what we put in the budget. Is that why that's in there?
Yes, this authorizes, what this authorizes you to do is to, you have committed on your financial statements $250,000 for emergency snow removal. So what this does is authorize you to use those committed funds if necessary for an emergency. You're authorizing the mayor to use it. If it's not implemented at all, then it remains as a committed amount for snow removal.
Why does it take this extra step to do that? I mean, all the rest of the stuff we put in the budget and it kind of flows through, this has to take a separate budget amendment.
The reason why we have it separated at one point in time, this was not implicated at all. We had a snowstorm that occurred The department was over budget from based on the budget that you have appropriated for temporary. And there was really no formal authorization of the mayor to tap into the $250,000 without coming back to council with a two-reading ordinance.
So we do this differently just so he has to come back to the council to say, yes, spend the money.
Right. If he's in an emergency state, this gives the mayor the authorization to tap into the $250,000. Of committed like funds for snow removal. Right.
I just wanted to point out Crystal has joined us. In fact, Crystal, did you have any questions on this?
No.
Okay.
Not right now. Thank you.
I have one question here. I know I'm probably the only council member that's kind of hung up on putting a lot of money into the center over there. If we were budgeting $680,000 for that facility, all that is in the structure itself, the building itself, right? Is that right?
Yes, we're currently having it wired so that, I mean, it was built in 1988 or 1981, and the only real change it had was in 88. All that was before there was, you know, any sort of IT to speak of. So we're having it wired so that it can be used for, you know, for training and hopefully try to get people to rent it out again.
Are other departments using our tower, our training tower? They are. Okay. Do they pay anything for doing that?
No. We got an online member, so I just can't holler it out from the back,
I guess. We do have a fee schedule. We're working on adjusting that fee schedule to help absorb some of these new costs that we're putting into the training center. But currently in the state of the building, our fees are fairly low, but it's not in really great shape either. So, but anytime an outside organization rents that building, we try to send them a fee, but in some cases we waive it if our members are going to that training, and sometimes they'll give us free seats versus the training costs. But I'm working on a fee schedule change for the entire department, so you should see that in the near future to help reflect these upgrades that Mike and the 911 Center are putting into the building to help eventually offset some of this cost.
In the main building, is there a second floor?
There's only one floor. It's a single-story building.
Okay. And I know that we're looking at putting a dispatch center in there. Is that correct?
Yes, we're working on that right now.
Okay. My gripe has always been I don't think we should have a backup dispatch center on ground level. For many years, when we looked at that, we were looking at higher elevations because in case of a flood, again, which could easily happen because the dike only goes down to the airport and the water can back up into the city very easily, to get that up in a higher elevation. And I, you know, that's where my concerns are. We're putting money into creating a station over there. I think it's the wrong location for it, but anyway, those are my concerns. To speak to the budget itself, how many lane miles do we have? About 100?
Sorry, could you say that again?
How many lane miles do we have in the city that we take care of? About 100?
I think it's more than that. It's in the budget.
That's okay. I don't know, but that's okay. It's a lot. The last time we as a city have actually done a major improvement on the road system was about, I don't know, 7 years ago when we did Gateway Subdivision over here off Airport Way. And it cost us several millions of dollars to do that. Since then, we've done nothing. The only thing we do is use some money from fast planning when we get it to do a road and some minor upkeep to do some overlays, patching, that sort of a thing. And the city, I know on our budget sheet, Margarita, you depreciate our roads. And I am very concerned. There was really nothing in capital to take care of that. So I know Valerie is looking at the surpluses for funding ongoing costs and all that. But in my opinion, we are absolutely remiss and not building up some capital funds for road major improvements in our city, and taking subdivisions like Gateway and working on those. Otherwise, we just constantly get further and further behind. Take advantage of a surplus when we have it, because that's the only source of money we're going to have. We're not going to get it from Juneau like we used to always count on doing. That's my 2 cents. Anybody else, John?
I agree with you on we need to start planning ahead for putting money aside. I also, looking at our adjustments here, it seems like everything we put out, appropriate money for, we get into it and find out, okay, well, now we got to go add another 10% or whatever, sometimes more. I know it's hard to estimate these, but I think we need to be maybe more realistic when we go into these numbers. With you start a project, you feel like, we're a little bit pregnant here. We got to keep spending the money. Once you're into it, you don't ever get the real cost until you've done.
Say we're just a little bit pregnant?
Yeah, once you start the project, you kind of like being a little bit pregnant,
All right.
So it's, are we being realistic in our budgeting when we know we're going to have to come back in 4 months and increase the numbers? So I think we need to maybe take a look at generally what the current costs are before we start on these and see if we can get more accurate. Because, you add them all up, this is a significant amount of increases.
Okay. Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll move on. Item number 3, Ordinance 6310, Ordinance authorizing the lease of office space in City Hall to the Denali Commission. That's pretty self-explanatory. Does anyone want to tackle that?
I just have one question. Do I talk to Mike? Do I talk to
sure.
you? When this gets set up, do they have, I think you said an exit that goes the outside straight to this office space? They don't have to go through, is the building department?
No, they're through the building department.
Is that weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
And is that any kind of weird breach of privacy for anybody?
I don't think it's going to be an issue. They're only going to be open during normal business hours anyway, so I don't think it's going to be a problem.
And how does it get signaled to the public do they have a sign somewhere? Is there going to be some sort of way to know that that's where they are? How do we do that for them?
In my opinion, that would be up to them to put a sign on their door or something. But right now they haven't been operating inside any office space for quite some time. So I don't think there's going to be a demand for people to come visit them.
Okay.
Mike, do they currently have staff based in Fairbanks?
They have one staff member.
They do. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're planning on having, just moving that one person.
Right. They were basically told they had to find a office space by the end of the month. So they're, scrambling around and we had a spot.
Just happened to have a deal for them. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Wonder if there's going to be a Denali Commission.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Now let's move on then. Number 4, Ordinance Number 6311, Ordinance ratifying a collective bargaining agreement between the City of Fairbanks and the Public Safety Employees Association.
All right,
Mike,
here we go.
Whoever.
Yeah, this is the same that you've seen. Nothing big or significant. No big changes. Honestly, even the stuff that we went back for were all very minor changes. So nothing's changed since you saw it in executive session.
Any questions, Sue?
So that means this is budgeted, correct? Nothing that we have to worry about. It's budgeted.
You have a balance, as I mentioned when we were reviewing the ordinance. If you turn to page 2 of 9 of the ordinance, amending the budget, and it says state, go down to that final section, it says other changes to the budget. That is your balance of your budget for 2025, and you'll see it's at 1.635589. If you're staying within your budget.
Okay. So okay. I just want to make sure that this has been this is handled in our current budget. We're okay to say yes to this, as far as I understand.
So no, it's part of the 1.2 of the fiscal note comes out of the 1.6.
That correct. Is correct.
So then we're only okay. got 400 left in.
And you will have 404,201 remaining.
Shoot. Okay.
Jerry had commented back that we're down to less than $500,000 in there, right?
Okay. We started with what, 2.5, and we're down to 4. We're doing good.
Yeah.
thank you for answering that.
That comes out of that.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it's
probably getting skinny.
Valerie,
on your fiscal note, you say the city should anticipate additional costs for overtime, leave, liability, and workers' comp due to wage increases and overtime changes. What do you think that's going to run?
Because this department has salary savings, we will not see any additional amounts beyond what's on your fiscal note. However, whenever you have changes in salaries, you can anticipate this. And it all depends on how many hours they work, so it's really hard to determine. I would expect it to be maybe between 10 to 15% more. It also depends on whether or not your workers' comp insurance increases. It was a significant increase this prior year, so it's really hard to determine that number. I can look at where we were last year and then add in these adjustments and give you a feel based on what happened last year. But I can give you that information on Monday night, what I would think this number would look like based on the changes in the wages, based on current rates.
Okay, so just so I got it clear, we had budgeted so much money for this agreement, and we're adding the 1.6 million, 1.2 million.
Yes, yes.
And
out of the 1.6, yes.
And I guess I'm confused as to how it ended up costing so much more than what we thought. Or am I just totally confused?
It's not an additional cost. This is, so you guys had originally put this in the budget. It went to the PSEA. They voted it down. When that happened, then those funds came back into the budget. Now you're putting them into the budget again. It's not like you spent the 1.2, then an additional 1.2. It's just the 1.2.
We didn't call it what this is. Right. You're saying we didn't designate it, the 1.2, until this happens.
Right. Well, you did prior when, because this has already passed the council once. So this is but then it came back out of the budget when PSEA shot it down.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's the dance we're confused by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I'm hearing is it could be more than that because our Marguerite is going to come with real numbers on Monday.
I can give you an estimate of how it will impact your insurance, but that's based on the current 2024 hours. I can look at 2024 hours and then, but it's based on when we pay insurance and when we pay those types of things, it's based on what actually happened during that year. And I don't know what they will do in 2025, but I can take their 2024 numbers and give you a feel for what that increase will look like. I just want you to be aware when you're changing wages, you're also impacting the insurance and other items. And I've been adding that to the to the fiscal notes so that you're aware that there are some other changes that you may not see that are happening, like the leave liability will increase. Your workers' comp will increase, and you can anticipate overtime increases due to the changes in the rates.
Jerry?
Keep going.
Chief, you want to add anything to this?
No.
You're happy with it?
Yeah.
You're okay, because yeah, we've gone back and forth on this. I just want to make sure.
Sure, yeah. We're going to talk in the next item about, some other FPD items, but as far as this, the contract goes, I think we got what, we were looking for in the contract, and it works.
Okay, thank you. I want to make sure you guys are happy.
Anyone else? Okay. We're going to move on to item 5, FPD staffing and body cams. We're going to get rid of those body cams, aren't we? No.
Well, that's up to you guys. There's a financial piece to it, of course. Part of what we're talking about with the body cameras really is the car cameras. So where we're at right now is we have about 10 patrol cars that have malfunctioning cameras that don't work, or we have some new vehicles that don't have cameras put in them. And where we're at is the body camera and car camera system is a subscription-based model. All of the companies now are going to this subscription-based model. So we have signed a contract with Motorola. It's a 5-year contract. I think we're in year 3 of 5. The problem is anytime we purchase a new camera, it restarts that 5-year cycle. So where we're at is we have 10 cars that need cameras, or potentially more than 10. With our current contract, if we were to buy new cameras, it restarts that 5-year cycle. We did look last year at other options. We're not unhappy with Motorola. The problem with Motorola is their billing side, the customer service side is pretty horrendous. The cameras and the functionality of them are fine. We don't have a problem with that. We did look at Axon, which also incorporates our tasers. Our tasers are produced by Axon. Axon has the same type of system. They do a 5-year subscription-based model. I believe the quote was just over $580,000 for the 5 years. That includes the taser, upgrading all of the officers' tasers in that system as well. The difference between Motorola and Axon is Axon doesn't have that same provision that Motorola does as far as the vehicle cameras go. So if we get to year 3 and we need another camera, it's just prorated for the rest of the 2 years. It's not the whole 5 years and start again. Did I forget anything?
No, I think that's it. I mean, essentially what we've been doing is holding off on the new car cameras with the anticipation that we would probably go to Axon or a similar vendor that doesn't have the contract that keeps resetting. But the caveat to that is, we still have 2 years to go on that contract. So it's up to you on the car cameras. I mean, their body cameras are, they'll have their body cameras on, but the car cameras are going to be a hit or miss by the end of the 5-year cycle.
And we did, I will throw in this too. We did, as we're cycling out vehicles, we did remove old cameras and try and install them into the new vehicles that we're getting. And that was a horrendous failure. We put 2 in the deputy chief's truck and Lieutenant Fett's truck. And they haven't worked right since we put them in. They worked right when they came out of the other cars. We put them in the new cars, and we cannot get them to work. It's been a lot of time with Captain Werner, IT, and Motorola trying to go troubleshoot that whole system and try and figure it out, and it's just not working.
Jerry?
Sue?
I am going to maybe sound ignorant. Why do we need them? Are they really a benefit? Do you like having them? Do they help us?
there's an evidentiary value to them.
Yeah, but it costs us a lot to provide it. You have to do all the changes, and you have to hide this stuff. They seem very expensive to me, and I just want to know if you thought they were worth having.
I think that, you know, the community has come to expect a certain level of service, and whether we're, you know, even in court now, you know, it used to be when I went to traffic court, you'd say, yep, you know, I saw vehicle A run stop sign, and that was good enough. Now it's, where's the video? So there's an expectation from the public that we have it. Does that mean that we have to have them? I don't think so. You know, we do have body cameras, and we'll continue to run the body cameras. I think it's just a financial decision on where we want to go.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah. A lot of finance. Okay, thank you.
Valerie? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, John. I'll go next.
Follow up on that. So how much does a body cam cover if you're in the vehicle? I mean, you say you got the one on the in the car. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that one, does the body cam give you anything of what the officer is seeing?
Probably not. You know, the body cameras kind of have that 180-degree fisheye lens.
Right.
Most of the officers carry
depending
that.
Depending on which way they're facing.
And depending on where they keep the body camera. Some officers have it on their belt. Some of them have it on their vest. You know, you've got the dash here.
Right.
It's down here. You don't see much from the body camera.
Valerie?
Have you tried to negotiate with the company to say with Motorola, you know, you guys have not provided any type of service. We're willing to stay with you as long as you don't extend it. We want to add these extra parts to our vehicles, but we don't want to, you know, you have terrible service. Or is Axon willing to absorb the cost of getting rid of Motorola so that they can have it for 10 years or so? I mean,
yeah, so that's that was part of the discussions with Axon, was they reduced their fees down to absorb the remainder of the contract with mm-hmm. Motorola. And of course, you know, we'll help you out with this other thing, because we would be agreeing to go with Axon for the next mm-hmm. 5 years. And I'm sure that, you know, their prices increase as time goes on too. And once they have your contract, you know, it's not going to get cheaper as time goes on. Mm-hmm. Because part of this too, is storage, right? We were going through storage when we housed the footage ourselves. We were calling IT probably every month, like, hey, we're full again. We need more, you know, get some more terabytes of storage. And we were spending an absorbent amount of money on storage for IT. So we went to this cloud system, which is great. We love the cloud. However, now all of our stuff is in the cloud. And that's a whole nother issue, because now you have this proprietary system that we have all of our body camera and car camera video on. And if we change companies, they obviously have to figure out some solution to get that off of their cloud storage, put it on somebody else's cloud storage, make sure that it's searchable, that we can find videos based on case number or date and time and all, you know. Yeah. So that's a whole nother. We've talked about that. We've talked with them about, you know, quite frankly, Motorola is a pain in the butt to deal with from the finance side. We get three bills and we're like, what is this for? And nobody can explain what each of the bills is for. It's frustrating for the finance department. It's frustrating for Captain Warner. They spent a lot of time going through that with mm-hmm. Motorola. And when we had WatchGuard is actually the car camera systems that are in our car. It was bought out by Motorola. When Motorola took it over, it's just gone downhill.
Have you had maybe the city attorney helping negotiate some of this and say, we're not going to pay the next amount of bill unless you deal with us better and give us better service?
I don't believe that Captain Warner has teamed up with Tom yet, but we can definitely have him look at that.
I would suggest that. And I think we need to have the car cameras. What if something disastrous happened and we're being sued? I think we need the car cameras. So
however you want to deal with it, but I would try to do some leverage.
John?
Of doing this in-house as opposed to contracting out with these folks. I mean, it sounds like you're kind of, they're beck and call whatever they decide to do today, and you're not really getting what you want anyway. Is it possible for us to do it ourselves, do it internally? And
so it is. It's not cost effective, right? They make it that way, right? So we could, as far as the tasers go, car cameras, body cameras, we could purchase them outright. And then we pay for the installation, we pay for the maintenance and all of that. With the subscription service, so like our body cameras, on the subscription service, if there's a problem with the body camera, we send it in, we get a new one back, it's good to go. If we were to go the route that you're talking about, when we have an issue with the body camera, we send it in, we pay to get it fixed, or we pay for a new body camera coming back.
So we have a lot of maintenance problems with that equipment? High maintenance stuff?
I wouldn't say high, but we're always, you know, I mean, we're always sending cameras back, whether it's a, you know, a computer software issue or an officer tumbles around with somebody and gets knocked out and, you know, and something happens. We are sending, you know, probably one a month back, maybe less.
Chief, how often or how long do we have to hang on to the cloud information? Is there a length of time?
Sure, that's a good question. So anything that we arrest anybody on, it's 5 years. So just your basic misdemeanor, we're required by law to carry that for 5 years. Any felonies and above, I believe, is 20 plus years.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, so we're working on a system to try and get that either off the cloud and into our evidence storage facility or, you know, some other process, because that is an issue as well. Another part of that is finding somebody to go through all of those cases, because now you have to keep track of, you know, it's 5 years from the time that the case is adjudicated. So if we arrest somebody today and it doesn't go to trial for 2 years, it's 5 years from that 2 year mark.
Oh, geez.
So you have to have somebody constantly going through your records going, okay, when did, has it gone to court? Okay. It's settled in court. Now can we start that time period and move on? So somebody always has to be going through and looking at that stuff. It just takes a set of eyes.
I still wonder at the value out of all this. It sounds so crazy. All the manpower, all the time. And what, in the end, does it really do to help solve a case? Or,
well, I'll tell you, when Officer Brandt was shot, we had a photo of the guy that shot him within, you know, a matter of a half an hour, because we had a car camera that captured the whole thing. So right.
That's a good point. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I needed. You know, because this is truly a value of, you're saying service, but it's encompassing a lot of all these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Service. Space, and then the cost of these items. It's just they keep getting crazy. So I'm hearing about $500,000 to get this up and running.
I believe the quote was like 580 for the 5 years. So and when we talked with Axon, that was you know, we didn't have to pay that. We could pay it all up front. We didn't have to pay it all up front. They would space it out for us. We could do it, you know, on a yearly basis. So,
okay.
You know, if we wanted to do that.
Jeez.
Okay, anyone else? Questions?
Are we going to have a resolution or ordinance about this, or is this just general discussion?
Well, really, you know, I wanted to bring that. I wanted to bring it. Oh, we did want to talk because we do have some money in capital set aside for that right now. We had $120,000 set aside in capital for car cameras. I didn't want to use that money on the car cameras now and you know, tie us into that 5 year time period. We do have opportunity right now. We did one of the vehicle companies that we're using for patrol vehicles contacted us. They have four Chevy Tahoes that are on the line, ready to be shipped to the upfitter. I think currently we did the numbers. We have enough in capital right now for three. I think we needed another $90,000 to do the fourth one fully upfitted. And vehicles lately have been a very hard commodity to get a hold of. We're waiting on three trucks now that we ordered in November of 2023. They're just now being finished off at the upfitter. So I would like to take that 120 and use it towards one of the new vehicles, or 90 of it to use towards a fourth vehicle, and get that, you know, here sooner than 3 years.
Is that vehicle made in this country? Do you know?
It's a Chevy Tahoe. I don't know where it's made.
Texas.
Okay, because then we wouldn't have to worry about proposed tariffs or anything like that. I mean,
yeah, that was all built in Texas.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. Dang. So is that another, would that be another ordinance to buy the?
No, I can add a language in the current
budget
amendment just stating that we're going to move 120 from this to that.
But you said that's only
but
good
it doesn't
for three.
Require any additional funds.
I have enough in the capital budget that we were assigned this year. I have enough for three. To get the fourth one was another 90,000, I believe, is what we.
So if we said yes to the three, you'd be happy with that?
Well, the three is fine. I have enough to get the three. It's just the fourth one.
Yeah, but you're saying I'd like the fourth one.
I'd like the fourth one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're just looking at all.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of numbers here. I'm just trying to figure out who gets what.
Sure. Yeah.
And you have the officers waiting for new vehicles, I assume.
We have vehicles going down all the time. Public Works does their best to get them back up and running. They have a fairly young staff as well, and so, but yeah, we make do with what we got.
Okay.
Great. Okay. I'd also say keep looking for alternatives. You know, we have cameras at our store, security features, and they don't cost thousands of dollars. They cost hundreds of dollars, and they work great, and they work great for years. I just think putting a cell phone on that dash and keeping it going for the duration of the tour of duty, and I think that would be infinitely cheaper than what we're doing with Motorola or something, but was. I don't know. If we could think outside the box, maybe there's some alternatives.
I know Public Works has been looking at some different camera systems for all the city vehicles. And so I know Captain Warner has also been in those conversations and has been looking at that with them as well. So I don't know if it fits the evidentiary need, but it may be an option for sure.
Well, it might be better than none.
Sure.
And at the end of a shift, if there's nothing that's taken place, we don't need to save any of that footage.
Right. So the way the footage is stored is based upon how the officer categorizes it when it's when they're finished. So the camera, it records while the vehicle is on in the background, but that's not saved unless some event happens, whether they turn on their lights. There's certain triggers in the vehicles that will cause that to happen. If they get in an accident, it'll automatically kick on and start recording. If they turn their lights on to a certain position, they hit their siren, those types of things will automatically activate it. They have to manually go in and stop it. Once they stop it, they're required to put in a case number. And put in what type of call it is, and depending on what type of call it is, will trigger what the how long it's held in the system for. So some of the videos are going away within 30 days, 1 year. Like if it's just a regular traffic stop, I believe it's deleting after a year. If they put it in as, you know, we don't need to keep it, it's a 30-day time period, and then it wipes and goes away.
God. So they're IT as well.
Same. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I do that for the car camera as well as the body camera for every time they stop their body camera, they have to do the same thing. They have to go in, categorize it, and tell it, you know, are we keeping this or not keeping it and where it's going.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to item number six, discussion of alcohol license application review.
Can I ask one more thing?
No.
part of what we put in there is FPD staffing. And I know that when we had our budget conversations, we talked about the overtime budget for the police department. Currently, I have $100,000 in my overtime budget. Year to date, I'm at about $27,000, $28,000. I know that that number was put in there with the assumption that we'll have salary savings to cover part of that in the future. I would just like some guidance on kind of what we're looking at for that. We're currently operating between 8 a.m. and noon with no officers. I mean, we have a supervisor on and no officers. And because of the overtime budget, we've taken away the standby time. So we don't have the officers on standby anymore. Just to have those officers on standby cost me $150,000 in overtime, roughly, per year. So we did away with that in the first part of February, just to save that overtime. But I would like some guidance on, like, what are we expecting if we keep it where we were last year, that, you know, 400,000, 450,000 range. I would appreciate some kind of guidance on where you guys would like to see that so that we can...
The you say 400,000, that's kind of the what you think the overtime cost would be for the year?
I think we were at about 450
last year.
I just need an idea.
So from that, we're saying, okay, if we're going to run like we did last year, then we're going to have to use $300,000 of salary savings to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you're trying to identify here.
Correct.
Now, am I right in that I thought I heard that you had about 9 or 10 vacancies at this point?
I believe we're 8 or 9. Yeah, we have.
So you've got quite a bit of salary savings already this year.
We have a little bit.
Eight of them for 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Valerie?
So are you asking us to increase the budget, to increase your overtime now with regard to this budget that's coming up?
I don't know that. I understand how that part is working. I just would like some guidance as to, like, it, you know, if we're looking at, is that 450,000 number, you know, acceptable to the council? Is that where we're looking at, or do I need to continue to? I mean, we're running a fine line, not having officers here. Like, we've been okay for the last year having officers on standby, but if something were to happen, you know, we're rolling the dice, and mm-hmm. Well, 150 is what it costs to have me to have two officers on standby for that 4-hour period.
You want that?
I would like to have at least that time period. I would love to be fully staffed and not have to worry about that those 4 hours and be coming to you with overtime, you know, because we're, you know, I don't know, traffic enforcement or whatever the other issue is, but. I'd like to put the officers back on standby, knowing that's going to cost us about $150,000 for the year.
Okay.
So I'm trying to sit here and do math. If we've got 8 of them that are vacant, 2 months, we've already probably saved $150,000 in salaries so far this year, and obviously we're not going to have them all filled by the first of next month. So the salary savings, we've already made enough in salary savings to do what you want to do.
Would say probably so.
You're just looking for a blessing to go forward, and because you can legally, you can move that money from salaries, correct? Yeah. I mean, we're gonna, at this point, we have to assume that you're gonna have that amount of salary savings, because we're not gonna fill 8 or 9 people in the next 60 days.
Budget amendment to make
no, that, okay. They can just move it. Okay. I don't have a problem with that.
This is, promise this is the last one?
Come on, I'm an attorney. What do you think? The $150,000 per year for standby, what would it cost to have those officers working instead of standby? What's the difference?
It'd probably cost me a couple officers.
What?
I said it would probably cost me a couple of officers. The reason that we scheduled the 4-hour gap period, mm-hmm. is because the officers don't want to work the overtime.
Yep.
And so if we force them to work the overtime, then they're going to leave. And then we're going to have a bigger issue manpower-wise. So the gap was really created to keep officers, to incentivize them to stay, with, you know, the thought that we still have guys that are on standby. They're already working, whether they just got off work or they're getting ready for work. And that 2-hour time period is, if something, you know, drastic happens, we can call them in. They have to answer their phone. They have to come in and be ready. And it's tied to their shift, so it's not like we're calling them on their weekend or day off, or forcing them to come in and work a, you know, 8-hour shift.
So you wouldn't lose an officer if you go this route?
No, it's basically where we've been operating for the last year.
Okay. So
do criminals know that we have no police officers from 8 to 12? Is there a lot of
crime?
Well,
that's not quite true.
All right.
Monday through Friday, we have the command staff there. We do have the detectives that are available upstairs. So not that there's not any officers, we just don't have patrol officers on the road patrolling. We have a supervisor, we have a lieutenant now that works Monday through Thursday from 8 to 5, and then a sergeant that works Thursday through Sunday, same time period, so. Staffing wise, yeah.
Shouldn't do what you just mentioned.
I agree.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Is that all you need?
That'll do, yes.
That and a hug?
We could use some more officers if you know anybody.
Okay.
I just think it's important for the general public to know when they see, well, there's nobody available. There is, but they're at the police station. We've got a chief, a deputy chief, a captain, a desk corporal, a lieutenant, I guess, a sergeant, sometimes.
Well, the corporal actually, you know, Corporal Wellborn is on his terminal leave now, so he's not at the front desk anymore. And because of our current staffing situation, we can't afford to have an officer. We promoted Corporal Harrison. He won't be actually taking the front desk position and all of those duties over until Officer Preston gets off of his field training. So we're looking at probably another month before he's able to come to the front desk and be there on a more permanent basis.
And there's 3 detectives during the day?
Yes, depending on the day of the week, but yes.
Yeah, so I just don't, I mean, if there's an emergency of something at a school or something, there's going to be a response. And we also have mutual aid.
Right. We'll have the troopers UAF come, or not UAF, North Pole comes in. UAF's available. Airport. If there's a huge issue, everybody comes running, just like we would if they had an issue.
Okay.
You're right. I mean, we've been doing this for a year or better now, and I'm not hearing complaints that don't have that. I think you're covering what you need to cover.
And that's, it's not ideal, but until we get those positions filled, then we're back to an ideal situation. Yeah. But the reality is we don't have anyone to do that, and so you make do with what you can do. That's all you can do.
So far, I think that's working.
So, okay. Thank you, Chief. Let's move on to number seven, update of six. Yep, back to alcohol. That was requested by council members, wasn't it?
I guess we're feeling confused by, and maybe.
Okay, this is the attachments to the liquor licenses you're talking about?
Yes.
The list? Okay. What was it exactly? Do you want to segregate those items that are not germane to the license?
Correct.
Is that what the thing was?
Correct. It's okay. So frustrating. It's seven pages of something that says all these police calls have been made, and you look, and then you're told most of these don't have anything to do with alcohol. So why spend the time and the effort? It's just dumb.
Okay.
It doesn't help. And it actually makes the property look more dangerous than it is. And maybe we should look at it differently to say, well, Fred Meyer's is a problem property. I don't want to do that, but it's stupid to have to go through all that.
I'm not sure, and the staff can respond, but I'm not sure how dispatch or anybody else could discriminate the calls that are absolutely for, say, the liquor store that's in Fred Meyer's as opposed to all the other activity that takes place there. My guess is virtually none would be applied to the store itself.
So it makes it it's worthless then, truly.
Well, you're asking for the calls to a certain address, and that's what you're getting. I mean, you have to ascertain yourself.
I was
yourself.
Told dispatch could label them, or I don't know. I'm just, this is why we're talking.
Mike?
Before we make a bunch more work for dispatch, this is an idea that I know Mike Meeks had pushed once and it got shot down. Was rather than going through all the calls and everything, how about we just ask the various department heads if they have an issue with that particular place? I mean, because like if it's a problem property, you know, Chief Doopy's gonna know, Christy's gonna know, Chief Caccaro, the building department, like they're gonna know if it's a problem property. Problem property. If not, they can review the calls themselves and give you a thumbs up if it's good or not.
So when we get a renewal, it actually comes to our data management team. They run those same sheets that you do, and they bring it to me, and they're like, "Here's the list," and they'll let me know, "Yeah, we have an issue," or "No, we don't have an issue," and we obviously talk. You know, we have a command staff meeting, so we know if there's a problem location. One of the biggest, I guess, problems that I have with the liquor license is there's only a select, a very minimal amount of things that we can reject those for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 99% of the time from our office, it's going to be, you know, no protest, because the things that we can protest on are so slim and narrow. So when you guys are getting that list of all those properties or all those calls, we've already seen it. I don't know if Christy signs off on that, you know, approval or protest, but it comes to my office and I look at them and I, you know, sign off on them. So it's already been vetted once by at least the police department saying, yep, we're okay with it. Go forward with that license. So,
Lonnie and I met with Jody Blakely at the Mecca last week just to see if there was anything we could talk further about what could be made better. And she said she kept a log in her bar about any time they call the police and why. So it correlates to whatever calls that we get from you guys. She can say this one's liquor, this one's dangerous, this one. And it makes me wonder if she's unusual, I bet, right? In keeping track of something like that. It couldn't be that we would ask that of anybody with a liquor license. Does that just put an onus that's ridiculous? It would just help correlate. Otherwise, this list of seven pages makes, you're saying you'll get them, you sign off on it. I'm looking at it saying, well, the police still like it. Why do I say no to it? It seems like a dumb effort. Why am I the only one thinking that?
Valerie?
Chief, you say your data management team mm-hmm. makes up the list. How much time does that take them to do?
To make up the list?
Yeah.
They run the report out of our out of our CAD software. So it doesn't, I don't think it takes much time for them to run those, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Now, if they were to have to go through 700 cases, individuals, the only way to discriminate them is for somebody to actually go in to each individual case and look at, you know, what the issue was, what the nature of the call was, and then go, yep, that one has to do with liquor store. Nope, that's the regular Fred Meyer's. That one's regular, regular. Okay, that's the liquor store. That would take a lot more time. I believe there is a way we could put something in the note field within our call, but that data would only be as good as the person inputting it. So if you have four officers that do it and 16 that don't, you're not going to come up with very good data, and would have to go back to the go back to the address and look at each individual case.
So what's a call from Fred Meyer's liquor store like anyway? Is that even a thing?
Do we get calls from the I can't tell you how many from the liquor store, but it's mainly the whole, you know, the whole business, because the liquor store is right inside that.
Sure.
The entrance there. So if there was a problem at the liquor store, they would call and we'd respond to Fred Meyer. So what, 930 Old Steese Highway.
If I could finish my questions. How much time, Chief, does it take you to look at these lists once it takes 10 or 15 minutes for data management to give it to you?
How long does it take me to look at
it?
Yeah. Well, I talk with the data management team if they're noticing anything, because they go through every single case. So the cases that are sent to the district attorney's office anytime we arrest somebody, anything like that, they're actually going through, they read, they're reading the cases, they're the ones that prepare that, send it to the district attorney's office. So if we have a problem area like, you know, Thrifty Liquor, for instance, they're going to know, hey, we are taking, you know, a lot of thefts from here or trespassings or whatever. So they'll advise me at, you know, what if we're having a problem with that area, and then also talk to the command staff, and they'll let me know if we're having an issue at a licensed premise.
So could you just ask data management to only flag the ones that go to the DA's office and reduce the amount of lists?
Well, I believe on the list that you get, you will see, I think they differentiate between the actual call and the report number. So if it has an actual report number, it means something significant has taken place. Either we've arrested somebody, we've taken some kind of case with it, versus just an event number.
But it doesn't mean it has to do with liquor store. It
does not.
So that's
correct.
Still...
Yeah, we'd still have to discriminate it down more by going into it and seeing what the call is for.
John?
So make me think, remind me of something I've thought of before. As you review the data, you can figure out for our report, does it have to do with the liquor store or not? But to me, this should be a source of data to tell us what our problem is. The problem is not necessarily the liquor store. The problem is these are just places people are hanging out, and it might be a clientele we don't want hanging out.
Sure.
And in terms of, we can talk about the liquor license, but we're talking about the wrong subject.
It could be, yeah.
A lot of times.
I mean, some of those places, like, for instance, we talk about the Mecca, right? We have quite a few calls that we get to the Mecca because that place creates an environment that draws people to it. Now, whether they're going into the bar and drinking, or they're standing outside on the sidewalk, we get called there. If they're standing outside on the sidewalk, you know, just loitering, you know, that's a different.
I mean, to me, I look at it and said, okay, we get a number of calls from over here at the Burroughs Transportation Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a liquor store, but it's the same problem, isn't
sure.
it? Whether
sure.
depending on, regardless of where they are, the problem from your perspective is the same. It's not that they're in the liquor
store.
It's
still manpower.
Right.
It's, right. So we got to maybe get data that tells us what our problem is so we can address the right problem. And I don't know. I think we need to think a little bit about how can we use that data better.
And to that point, we heard that people don't call the police from the Mecca anymore because they feel like they're being punished. And that wouldn't be bad if, or wouldn't be good if something truly was dangerous. And I would hate to think anybody can't rely on our police for the help they need. So that was part of our conversation. And I don't, anyway, there's a lot going on here. And when I looked at this list of what we're supposed to be reviewing, council may protest a license if it determines any of the following conditions. There's, I've never heard of some of this stuff. Yeah.
That's a summarization of our, that's a summarization of our current chapter or, yeah, section on alcohol review.
So this was, I'm glad we have it. Okay. Thank you.
Years ago, when we had problems where police are responding to a property a lot, such as Fairview Manor, to give you an example years ago, we started charging them for that. And when I see page after page after page of things for a certain property, and you go, at what point do we say, okay, we're not your security?
Exactly.
You need to hire some or be more proactive there, and we can work with you on that. Otherwise, we become the security for that agency free of charge to them, essentially. The other part of it is concentration of liquor licenses in the past has been a problem. I mean, I look at this corner down here on Airport Way and Cushman. For a while, we had one, two, three. We had four liquor licenses on a corner, essentially. And Stacia Street, when I was mayor, was the biggest problem I had over there. And a lot of activity. And you go, okay, at what point do the police say, you know, this is a problem, and we need to start limiting licenses or something like that? So I think you have discretion and to do more than we do. If there's a license that's an attractive nuisance or causing us a lot of our time at the expense of everybody else in the community, then I think they have every right to say, we make a recommendation that this not be renewed or it should be sold or it should be moved or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like we rubber stamp a lot of it.
We do.
And I don't love it because looking at these, like I said here, relocation of his license into a defined core downtown area, unless the applicant demonstrates the license will contribute to downtown revitalization. Wow, that's asking a lot of a license, and I never knew we impel them to do so. Do they know that? Does a licensee know that we're running this kind of...
May I, Mr. Cleary? Yeah. Yes, so there's a very small area that this applies to, the downtown core area. And whenever a license is affected by that subsection, I send a special notice to that applicant to let them know that this is their responsibility, basically, to prove to the council that this applies. And then in my memorandum to the council, I also let the council know that this is one of those special cases for your consideration.
Okay. Gosh. Well, thank you.
Just a follow-up. Chief, I would think that work with your data management team and only bring us the list of things that go to the DA's office and skip the rest, and that should reduce our concerns with having to look through a list of stuff that isn't formulated.
We can make that happen if you just want to see the...
Yeah, just reformat it. Okay. Yeah. Let's try that.
Are you worried about something, Mike?
Just the amount of work. I don't want us to do a bunch of work that's extra.
You said it's not going to take much, right?
Right, the report numbers are there just to separate.
Okay, we're going to listen to Tom now.
Okay.
Councilmember Ringstad and Councilmember Clearworth brought up an important point that I think council should consider. So when the alcohol license renewal comes before you and you get an event report and it lists all the calls out, there is a section of your code that talks about chronic nuisance property, that talks about excessive police response. And my concern is that you've got in front of you a report that defines this premises, this property, as a chronic nuisance property or as an excessive police response property, and we're passing on that and then applying it to a different premises just out of the blue. I want to try to be consistent. So I think that Councilmember Ringstad's thought that maybe those event reports are giving us great information, but we're looking at the wrong question. We're not looking at, around the city of Fairbanks, what are the chronic nuisance properties? What are the excessive police response properties? Maybe they have a liquor license, maybe they don't, but it's something that probably should be addressed. And Councilmember Cleworth is correct that there is already existing code that allows you to try to address those situations, whether it be through the chronic nuisance property kind of avenue or excessive police response avenue. I think part of what the concern that Councilmember Sprinkle brings forward is this isn't a good fit, right? We're trying to do two things with one set of data, and it's not doing really either one of those things. I would encourage you, when you get the chance, to look at Fairbanks General Code Section 14178. It lists and outlines exactly what council should consider with a license renewal. So that's 14-178. Specifically, subsections 1, 2, and 4 deal with police response and kind of what that licensee is doing in the community. I think the clerk does an excellent job kind of ushering these things through the process and summarizing department concerns and different concerns have been brought forward. So that's another area where you can hopefully find some information. Thank you.
Sue?
I think this is a lot of information. I appreciate this topic being discussed. I do think, John, that we do look at something differently to say we have a problem here. And, if the liquor license was taken out of Fred Meyer's, I bet we'd still have as many calls. So that's a thing. And I don't know why we don't task them with something more than saying, well, here's their liquor license. Is it, we're using manpower to take care of that.
Correct. And like the city attorney said, we do have the nuisance property and excessive police call ordinances. However, there's only specific calls that those actually apply to as well. So a lot of the calls that you're seeing on there would not technically fall under that category. So
I feel like there's more to be discussed here. Maybe not now, but
yeah, I think we're going to be in conflict with another event here in a minute. At 8:30, I think they have a ticket hearing. Is that
okay.
Correct?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So
we'll
I think
go back to this later.
Yeah,
let's
do. Put that on. I mean, it's
thank
a good
you.
Discussion, and
thank you. Appreciate it, Danny, for doing this.
Chauffeur license renewal, can we do that quickly?
Yeah, the council asked me to, I think, report back after I contacted the applicant after the last meeting when his appeal was denied. He was not present. He presented to me that he did have a family emergency. Although he didn't reach out to me, he did say he had a family emergency. So I'm reporting that back to the council. Basically, if you do nothing, the denial stands, but if you wanted to rehear it, I just need direction if you'd like anything else to happen with that one.
So if you never made that phone call to him, we'd be right here where we started, right?
Well, he did say that he was going to try to contact my office, and I don't know what that meant, but whether he actually tried, I mean, we answer the phone 8 to 5,
yeah.
So I'm not sure.
I think the ball's in his court.
Yeah.
You've done your job.
This committee report.
The Finance Committee is scheduled to meet on February the 27th at 7 a.m. in the Mike Meeks conference room. Where, although the ordinance will be approved by that time, they will be looking at this first budget amendment, and they are still looking at a nuisance property remediation program, and of course they'll be reviewing the financial statements as of January 31. That is all I have.
Thank you, Margarita. Comments from Mayor and Mayor.
I'm just,
his should be brief.
I hope so.
Council members.
I just got the newspaper today. Probationary employees ousted amid hiring freeze, leaving Denali in limbo. This is scary to me because this is big money for our visitors and our economy, and I'm really, really worried about what's going to happen.
Anyone else? Valerie.
Mike, since I haven't been able to get onto my computer here, can you get a resolution together to oppose the energy audit so that we can get that on the agenda for approval? I think we really need to oppose that regulation, and I know we only had 30 days from the time that Tammy Wilson got here, so I think it's, you haven't worked on any of that yet, huh?
And no.
Okay, if you could do that, I think that would be really important for our community. And if we can get it on the next agenda, will that make 30 days? Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so, because she was just here two weeks ago, so I think, okay. I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a resolution. It could be on Monday night.
Yeah, you can get it on the resolution. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. If you want to send it to me, if I can get it into my computer, if not, send it to my personal email.
The IT guy.
But I think that's really important that we get something on record for that.
Crystal, do you have anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. John, anything? Okay. Just one piece of information to pass on. The borough accepted our challenge.
Did they?
And they had I'll bring it to council meeting, a nice little handout they gave to everybody. And so game's on.
When? Do we have to do a resolution? Or is it not?
Well, we need to negotiate a time.
Okay.
So I need to go over and find out schedules at the alleys because tournaments take up a lot of time. We need to find a time where we can reserve four lanes.
Well done.
So,
did they reach out to you? How did you find this out?
I was at the borough assembly meeting. I did my duty, and right there in resolution, they passed it unanimously. So,
fantastic.
I know in the past when I bowled, Monday through Friday nights were completely booked.
They
so
are.
So we're probably looking at a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon.
But some of the leagues, like on Monday night, they only take up about 8 alleys of 24.
Oh, okay.
So there's other possibilities. So.
Okay.
So
all right.
Are you the man to manage that part of things?
I can get times. Yeah, I'll find that. I should have done that last night when I was here. But
if it's during working hours, I can't make Monday through Friday.
What's your average?
It's so low, and with my knee changed, I have no idea.
It's gonna be during working hours.
That's good that I don't have to do it.
Oh, come on, Val. Okay, that's great news. Thank you.
Okay.
When's our next legislative committee meeting?
Next Wednesday, not this upcoming, not tomorrow, but the Wednesday after.
Next Wednesday. Thank you.
Okay, we stand adjourned.